Today's episode is brought to you by Emco Beauty. Affordable, luxe for less, and cruelty-free beauty with every product under $50. Amazing, right?
Oh my God. Are you all right?
Yeah, my allergies at the moment. It's springtime.
Oh, so the ads are real.
Yeah.
I don't have allergies, so I don't know. Educate me.
Oh my God, I could dream of a life without allergies.
Oh, fuck us.
I have this contradictory love where I love the smell of freshly cut grass, but my allergies cannot handle it. It's a real problem.
What about flowers?
Again, love flowers, but hate the flowers.
No, they make you kick off.
They really do.
Oh, no.
It's so I wish I could explain it to someone who's never experienced it before.
Here I am, ready to be explained to.
Itchy eyes.
Ooh.
Now, you know how I feel about itching after experiencing pup's rash? Mm-hmm. It's like you want to claw your eyeballs out, and then your nose is constantly snuffly and runny.
Oh.
And then on occasion, when it's really bad, I break out in hivey neck.
Okay.
Where it's patchy and red and itchy.
Is it pollen? Is that what does it?
It's all the things.
Sorry to sound like such an idiot. Like, I don't have allergies. Kids don't have allergies. So I'm like not boned up in this.
But it's kind of like when people have cold sores and those who have never had a cold sore like me, I don't get it because some people be like, oh, my fucking cold sore. And I'm like, it's not that obvious. And they're like, no, you don't understand how it feels.
Yeah, it feels like it's waving. So when I get a cold sore, it feels like it has an arm that extends out of it and is just like slapping you in the face and going, oi, oi, look at this. Look at me. Mum, look what I'm doing.
Whereas from my POV, it's like kind of a little pimple.
Yeah. Nah, it's festy.
Look, I've got a lot more to say on allergies. So should we just get to the intro?
Let's do it.
A one, a two.
Don't sing it for me. I know where to put the song. Every fucking week, you drop it in there in your little passag way of like, and Revsy, here's where the song goes. I know.
Just because we've got it pre-recorded,
okay,
I miss singing it live.
Oh, so you're doing it for you, not for me.
Okay, never go for you. Always.
We have a thousand things to do.
We have a thousand things to do, but we'd rather chat to you. With emails and meetings and husbands and kids, we don't have time for this. Just what you need, two basic bitches with a podcast.
Hello and welcome to We Don't Have Time For This. I'm your host, Gemma Pranita, aka Gemma Peanut on the gram, along with my co-host,
Kate Revsity Doodah Daisy Doobadoos. Badabadoos.
Badabadoo. Scatting over here. Skibbidabab, skidabab, whoa.
So cute. Love it. It's a Christmassy vibe, a Bing Crosby situation. How are you?
Not allergy free.
Full of allergies.
Back on the topic of allergies, because, you know, it's a sexy conversation.
Just circling back to Sneeze Town.
My other love-hate with allergies is I'm a cat gal.
Yeah.
I've established this before on the potty.
Crazy cat lady.
Total.
In your heart only.
I'm a bit of a Taylor Swift wannabe with her cat lady vibes. Secretly want a whole load of cats, but highly, and I mean highly, 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 highly allergic to cats. Like you were asking before about the pollen. The one thing that trumps that is cats.
Yeah.
Never been a dog person. Prob's a bit allergic to those. Wouldn't know because don't hang out with them very often. But here's the thing. My brother is moving back to Australia. He recently got married, which I've shared on the podcast. And in his gift registry, they had a cat fund.
Meow, meow.
Where you could contribute to them purchasing a cat. And people have flocked to the cat fund. They have a honeymoon fund and a new home fund and also a whole load of items that you can contribute to their house. But people have cut sick on the cat fund. So now they're like, do we buy one really expensive cat or do we buy like 10 Burmese? You know, like it's a big decision to be made. And I'm...
What's a really expensive cat? Like a tiger? Like a small Tiger King operation?
Potentially.
Wow.
Look, wouldn't surprise me in America that there's someone breeding bougie house-sized tiger cats. But maybe like a Russian Persian blue?
What's that?
I don't know. I've made it up. But it's probably a thing.
It sounds fancy.
I don't know why, but blue anything sounds fancy in the world of animals.
Totally. I like the Weimaraners.
I don't know what that
dog.
Is.
It's a dog breed, and they're like...
God, you sound like someone who throws out the term palomino and is like...
Oh, like for horses?
Yeah. I can't remember who I was with the other day, but they were talking about horses and they threw out palomino and they went to define it for me. And I was like, I was a saddle club watcher. I know what a palomino is, okay?
I know my palomino from my Arabians, okay? Blue Weimaraners are like these sexy, silky little dogs, and they're like, they look blue. They're gorgeous.
Yeah, beautiful.
Like a short-haired, shiny, blue-gray Labrador.
It sounds so niche.
Sounds really expensive.
So I said to my brother, I hope you're getting a hypoallergenic cat, because he too shares the same allergies as me, mm-hmm. being my blood brother. And he said, well, Ovi. And I said, oh, are you going to get a Mr. Bigglesworth Sphinx?
What?
You know, the hairless cats where they've got that wrinkly skin?
Yuck.
Nah, I'm into it.
The only way to get a cat is to get a black one and call it Mr. Mistopheles. Done.
You're so basic. That is done. So basic.
That's or like, Jinx from Hocus Pocus.
Again, basic.
Yeah, yeah, it's
or,
basic.
Or, I know, it's black. I'll call it Silhouette.
What?
Or Midnight. Chom, or Shadow. Chom,
no one ever called a cat Silhouette.
What, and call it Silly for short?
Jim, you're so basic. It's like, you're just going to call this black cat Silhouette. No, said no one ever. You weirdo.
Well, this is how basic I am. I had a white cat as a kid, and guess what it was called?
Ghost?
No.
Casper?
No. Snowy.
Oh, yeah, right. Sorry, I really didn't walk into that one. Snowy.
Snowy made me sneezy.
Oh, Snowy made you sneezy. Well, keep us posted on what they land on.
I will, I will. And hopefully I can play with it. Or just neck like 10 Zyrtec and wish me luck.
Oh, God. If you could get a cat, what kind of cat would you get?
I love a Burmese. According to my husband, who's also a cat man.
Yep.
Cat man. You can just picture Hubs, like this surfer dude with a cat on his lap.
No, that's also not a thing. You can just picture a surfer with a cat in his lap called Silhouette. No, I can't picture it. It's quite new.
Look, I'm not good with the archetypes, okay?
You're not. Oh, so they're friendly.
They are the friendliest.
They're not the ones that are like, we are Siamese, if you please. In the very unwoke version of Lady and the Tramp.
Correct.
They're That's not them?
Yeah. I mean, they're Burmese, yeah. Like Burma.
Yeah.
Which is now called Myanmar.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
Okay.
They are just known to be the friendliest cat in the cat family.
And because cats notoriously aren't friendly.
No, they're assholes.
Yeah, they're real dicks.
Which is why people love them.
Right.
Because they kind of like, they play hard to get.
It feels like trauma. It just feels like you're working out your trauma through a house pet.
It's brilliant.
I'm a dog person. If I had to be anyway. Look, we have famously declared we're not pet people. But if I was going to get a pet, I would get a dog.
Totally. And yeah. What dog breed would you get?
So because I like to do things in extremes, I would either go one way or the other. I'd either get a tiny little sausage dog and call it Frank.
Oh, my gosh. I've got a friend who's got a sausage dog called Floyd.
Floyd.
Oh, my God. Frank and Floyd would totally be friends. And then you guys could start a pet brand called Frank and Floyd.
It could be a not sponsored. I just can't get over how poorly designed they are. Like, what are those stupid little feet and that stupid long body trying to achieve? Not go upstairs,
no.
That's for sure.
Or not able to jump onto a sofa.
Nothing.
And snuggle in for a cuddle.
They're not made for domestic life. I don't know what they are made for, snooting around on floor level,
no,
I guess.
They're made to be the butt of jokes.
They're made to be wrapped in a bun.
Exactly.
Or if I was going to go to the other end, I'd want like a big fucking dog, nostalgia style St. Bernard. Just a big slobbery... big pawed thing that would just like climb on top of your bed and just own you.
Sounds like my nightmare.
Yeah, it does. It does.
I already have a St. Bernard in my son Iggy when it comes to drool factor. Literally, that kid could drool for Australia. He could fill an Olympic swimming pool with the amount of drool he has.
Ew, still.
Yeah, still. He's nearly two.
Yeah, fuck.
You know, when I had Rafa, I didn't get the purpose of bibs. I was like, cool. I bought all these bibs because I was like, hey, I'm having a baby. It yeah. needs bibs. But then when it came to feeding time, I got those silicone bibs that catches all the mess
yep.
and easy to rinse under yep. the sink and then you're good to go. I did not understand the point of fabric bibs.
Yep.
until I had Iggy and I went, oh, there are kids who just straight up overproduce saliva.
Yeah, drench their entire front of their t-shirt.
I got a letter home from his daycare that was, please pack more bibs because Iggy soaks through the first one in the morning and then proceeds to wet all of his spare clothes.
How stupid are babies?
Oh, they're so
and then
silly.
They get that dumb little spit rash on their chest.
Yeah. But I bought Iggy a load of these cute triangle bibs.
They're so cute, those ones.
And my brother and my now sister-in-law said when Iggy wears those bibs, he looks straight out of the 1900s.
He looks like he's in a Western.
Yes!
Yeah. Bit of a bandana vibe.
Yeah, he rocks it.
Yeah. How'd we get here?
I don't know.
What are we talking about?
We started with allergies and we've ended up in the wild, wild west.
Do you know what I don't have time for?
What don't you have time for, Revsy?
This awkward stage of my hair being grown out.
I have to disagree.
Just put a pin in your opinion for a second.
Say put a pin in your opinion 10 times.
Put a pin in your opinion.
Again? Put a pin in your opinion. Put a pin in your opinion. Put a pin in your opinion. Put a pin in your opinion.
I like it. It's pleasing to my ear.
I agree.
Anyway, I'm growing out my hair. Look, I know this is very trivial and superficial, but like hashtag relatable? I don't know. Let's just go with it. I had very short, blunt, cropped bob all of last year.
But now you've got a lob.
Well, it's not even a lob yet.
It is a lob. I would call this a long bob.
This is not a lob. This is a daggy, grown out mum vibe. And you know, I get upset when I'm even verging on mumsy. My urge is to dye it purple.
Oh, what?
Yeah, like, you know what happens to me. If I'm starting to feel a little bit meh, a little bit basic, a little bit mumsy, I go too hard in the direction of overcorrecting. I do something dumb like dye my hair swamp green. Remember that time?
Oh, yeah.
So you've done lavender.
Remember when you did lavender hair?
Yeah, done it. But like, look, I'm not really going to do that. I just want to have a whinge about my hair. But like, there's nothing you can do. It's that awkward phase where you just got to ride it out because it's not long yet. But if you cut it, it'll be short again.
Question.
Yes.
Are you trying to grow it long?
Yeah, I want to grow it out a bit.
Like, what's a bit?
You look so perturbed.
Well, I'm annoyed because I'm looking at your hair and I don't think it's even remotely mumsy. I think it's a really good lob.
Lob.
It's a long bob.
Is it though?
It is.
It's wispy and sad. I know. I want to put like a wave in it where it's got three waves.
That's the length. You need a lot more.
That's
length.
That's the length I'm going for. At the moment I can bust out like two waves. I want third wave.
Okay.
I want to add a third extension.
You know you could just get extensions.
No, I cannot.
Okay.
First of all, they're expensive. Second of all, my hair's too fine. You see the little connecty bits. It's bad.
It's such a bad look. It's a terrible look.
So I'm just going to have to ride this out. And I just wanted to say I don't have time for it. Guys, I don't have time for it. Why can't it just be long? And don't come at me with hair vitamins because they're not real.
Ooh.
They're not
controversial.
Real.
Yeah, look. I had a brand reach out to me selling hair vitamins and I was like, I just don't know if I can promote it. Especially with postpartum because that was the angle they wanted to go. Because I guess it's like, well, how much was my hair in a cycle of natural growth after I started taking the vitamins? It's like, look how much thicker my hair is. And it's like, well, at some point your hair is going to grow back. The postpartum hair loss is going to grow back.
Well, look, I have very fine hair. And when I had a Mirena in 4 years ago now, I went through a massively scary bout of hair loss. Do you remember?
Was it like The Craft?
It was not like The Craft, but it did make me go, oh, have I got alopecia? Is alopecia starting? My part thinned so dramatically that you know what it looks like, right?
Yeah.
And it's a quite normal hormonal thing postpartum to have changes in your hair. Either it goes a lot thicker or a lot thinner. But I went on a real spiral with it because I was like, oh my God, I'm going to lose my hair. So I saw it. I really stumble over saying this. Trichotologist?
The heck?
Trichotologist.
Hey Siri.
What is a hair doctor called?
Okay, I found this on the web for what is a hair doctor called. Check it out.
Trichologist.
Oh, so you were adding in a
Trichotillocologist. Trichologist. Fuck, I say it.
Trichologist. Yeah.
A fucking hair doctor. And of course, they're sciencey and maybe a bit old school, whatever. But they were like, there is no supplement or tablet that is going to regrow hair or grow your hair or whatever. And there's no topical thing. Like there's no oil or shampoo or whatever. It's like, it's a hormonal thing. You've got to correct that.
I tend to agree.
Well, I don't know shit about shit, but it was like, he was like, do not waste money on those hair supplements because they are just capitalizing on your insecurity and putting a huge price tag on it.
So do you think that people who swear by hair vitamin brands,
yep,
do you think that it's all placebo based?
I can't speak to what's going on in the psychology of their brains. I probably think they just got a, you know, nice fee from the brand manager to promote it on their Instagram.
Yeah, I do think all the before and after photos, I'm like, I could recreate that.
Yeah, I could do
that. I can make my hair look flat and then I could put some powder in the roots, zhuzh it up and be like, hey, presto.
Dry shampoo, whack your head upside down, flick it back, put a ring light on. Hey, presto.
Bob's your auntie.
Yeah, sell these $170 vitamins.
Is that how much they are?
Some of them are, yeah.
It's outrageous.
Anyway, so my hair's come back, so it's okay. We're all right. We're all good. But I did, in my search, find a few awesome Instagram pages that talk about hair loss in women and that kind of thing. And the best one is Hair Loss Boss. She's so cool and she does a lot of research. She's very boned up. She's a real authority on the topic.
And what's her take?
All those things are bullshit and they're just... And she wears wigs and she has found, or people send her, before and after campaigns on Instagram or Pinterest or whatever using her photos where she's wearing a wig as the after and the before is her with her, she calls it her bio hair.
It's such BS, man.
So people steal her natural hair and then her wig hair photos and put them up on the internet as before and afters and sell a product attached to it.
So wait, there has to be a solution out there though, because my dad went to a trichologist and...
It just rolls off your tongue so easily.
I don't know why.
Why do I struggle so much?
Not sure. His hair is noticeably thicker.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so there are treatments for men who are balding.
Yeah, but there's no cure for baldness really, or there'd be no bald people.
True.
Do you know what I mean? I think.
But is that because that's the older generation and now our gen will see no bald grandparents? I don't know, because my dad does something. I don't know if it's a supplement or if he gets some sort of laser pulsing growth stimulation, something or other on his scalp, but it was noticeable.
Really?
Like even as his daughter. And men can't, you know, whack in some dry shampoo and shush it up.
If they want.
But it's short, so I feel like there's more of a giveaway.
Sure, sure, sure. Well, anyway, just another thing to be insecure about.
DLs who have a product that have brought their hair back to life, slide on in. To tell us all about it.
It's just one of the boring postpartum things we have to deal with that the men don't. I mean, look, men lose their hair. That's a given. Like, obviously, they know what that's like. But just that hormonal fluctuation that, like, I was like, if you come for my hair, I'm gonna cut you. Like, I don't have a lot. Leave me my fucking hair.
So, another question.
Yes.
Have you booked an appointment with Maria?
Yeah, I just had it done.
Oh.
Oh, wow. That's not the colour.
Well, I'm really confused because you were just shitting on your hair.
No, but it's not my colour. It's just the length. I meant the length alone.
Did she not give it a trim?
No, because she said, I can trim it, but it'll be short again then. Let's just give it one or two more
goes. Oh, so your whinge is to do with your lack of patience.
Yes. Yes. What I don't have time for is time. But it was up to my ears like 6 months ago. So it has grown. My hair does grow fast.
It's grown significantly, Revs. Yeah. I think you're sort of whinging on Whinge FM in a really intense, unnecessary way, if I'm honest.
This whole podcast has been thoroughly unnecessary.
And pointless.
I think you should go to bed.
Good night.
I need to talk about something extensively. Extensively.
Unleash.
Sex, love, and goop.
Oh, yeah.
The Netflix documentary.
Love a bit of Gwynny P.
I don't even know where to start. Have you watched it?
I confess I've only seen the trailer.
Okay.
It did arouse me. And then I then very promptly added it on my to watch list.
Yes. You need to watch it because you have someone to have sex with.
Ooh.
This is the thing. I was like, I want to try all this stuff and I've got no one to try it with.
Try all what stuff?
So okay.
Explain it to the DMs. Right.
Bit of context. So Goop is Gwyneth Paltrow's, what do we call it? Platform? Company?
Like lifestyle universe?
Lifestyle Yes, well put. It is a lifestyle universe. It started as like a website,
yep,
and then it got products, and now it's a lifestyle universe. Basically, it's like her and like a bunch of, and I hate this term, but wellness experts in a beautiful office space in California trying to work out how to best evolve as humans. Like that's kind of what the aim is. Like they're always looking at psychology, personal development, physical things. Like their last doco, I can't remember.
Yeah, the Goop series.
Yeah, it was like they looked into ice baths and they looked into Reiki and they looked into all these kind
ayahuasca.
Of, yeah, all these kind of like alternative therapies for, you know, physical and emotional ailments. Anyway, this whole series is all about sex and relationships.
I love this.
I love it so much. they basically get five or six couples in of all different ages, sexes, genders, all the things. And they they kind of find out what the pain points for these couples are in their sex life. And then they assign them to a specific expert. So this one couple, they're thoroughly in love and they've like got their relationship sort of sewn up, but their sex life is a bit like it's never quite clicked. And he wants to have a baby. And she's like, well, am I going to have an orgasm before I have a baby? Like,
brutal.
Yeah, it's full on. But they're really honest. All the couples are really honest. Obviously, you have to be to sort of sign yourself up for something like this. So they assign them to like a sexologist. Oh, God, I'm going to get all the terms wrong. But someone who basically teaches couples how to fuck each other. But like
is that person there watching?
Yeah, it's amazing.
And are they all naked?
No. It's very respectful and woke and goopy. They wear like Lululemon activewear the whole time.
Of course.
And their hair and makeup's been done. You know,
they are the target audience.
Yeah, it's like super goop. Basically has this diagnostics. I'm not going to go through every couple and what they do because you could watch it, but we can use this couple as an example. She does this diagnostic on them to work out what their sex language is, like the 5 love languages.
Cool.
And you can do the test online, Gem. You can do it online.
On goop.com?
Yes, I'm sure, yeah.
Is this your not sponny?
It sounds like it's your sponny.
I know.
On goop.com? Where do I go, Revsy, to check this out?
On goop.com? I reckon I could write a jingle. What's the name of the show?
Sex, Love and Goop.
Sex, Love and Goop. Here is the scoop on Sex, Love and Goop. Keeping you in the loop. Da-da.
Love it. Well, after that diversion. Anyway, so they send this couple along to this sexologist and basically she works out there's like 5 different types of erotic life. Mm. They talk about in the doco that most women, we've talked about this before, when they're having sex, it's performative. Mm. So she said, you know, when you watch porn, the women are breathing like, ha, 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 and it's like, no one breathes like that when they're having pleasure. That's like hyperventilating. Do you know what I mean? When we're really in your body, it's like deep.
Yeah.
Slow or even silent, you know, because you're really in that space. So it's just like breaking down all those things we think we need to do or whatever.
Are you a silent sex person?
I wouldn't say silent, but I'm not like a yeller.
Well, there's something in between silent and yelling.
I mean, I like to give positive feedback.
Yeah. It's good. It's good. It motivates them.
I actually don't know if I'm honest. I feel like I'm not that aware of what I'm like.
You're not a sweet sire?
A sweet sire? Are you?
I don't know.
Sounds like you are.
Maybe I am.
Sounds like a little disappointed. It's like, is that all there is?
No, reframe it to, that's bliss.
Anyway, this couple go and this sexologist diagnoses her as kinky and him as sensual. And then that gives them this language to explore how to pleasure each other.
Wow.
But also where the disconnects are and what they could explore to sort of crack open those parts of each other's erotic personalities.
That's so cool.
And she was like, I would never in a million years have thought of myself as kinky because that sounds like leather chains and whips and boots and shit. She's like, but it's not that at all. It's just that she likes kinks. So they do all these exercises where she's blindfolded. And he paints her because he's an artist and he's like, he needs to tap into his sensual, like he literally paints on her.
That's
with paint.
Sick.
And but she likes the feeling because she's blindfolded. It's so sexy. Then a fucking husband comes in and he's in this world too. And he does this like sex reiki on her where he doesn't even touch her.
And she orgasms.
She's like convulsing on this table.
Wow.
And this couple is sitting there watching like, is she going to come? And he's like pulling threads and like a fucking puppet master.
Wow.
And she's like arching. Sorry, you can tell I'm into it. I was just like, this is amazing. Gwyneth for president. The whole doco is so fascinating from every angle, from like a psychology angle, from a sex angle, from a physiological angle, and then it's got a real woo-woo layer over the whole thing.
And then did you go and have a solo sesh?
Well, no, because it was about the relationship between two people.
So not one little cell in your body got a bit like tingles south of the border.
Well, sure, but I'm packing to move house. It's a whole thing.
Okay.
Anyway, point is everyone needs to watch this and then we need to have like a discussion.
I agree. And most importantly, we need to do the quiz.
Yeah, we need to do the quiz and find out what our erotic diagnosis is.
I want to make my husband do it.
Yes, well, that's the whole point. It's like the love languages. If you know someone's an act of service, that's how they receive love, then you know they're doing, you know, doing little acts of service will make them happy. I think it's like that. So it's like you know what your partner needs and wants from their erotic life and then you can give it to them.
How cool.
and be forever happy.
How good.
How good. Anyway, fascinating.
Very fascinating. Now, I want to tangent us a little bit to chat about old Gwynnie P.
Yes.
Not old, young. But
well, who knows? She could be 75.
So true. What is with the pile-on of hate for her?
Yeah, this is part of why I like about the documentary. I think she's so great. Like, think what you want about her.
But no, answer this. Yeah. Like, what are people picking apart about her? What where is the hate? Because I know that there's heat on Gwynnie, but I'm like, what started this? Did she say something controversial? Did she do something?
Yeah, she says a lot of things that aren't like founded in science. And she's a privileged white woman selling $2,000 yoni eggs on her all white website. You know what I mean? Like, she's easy to hate.
Problematic. I can see why.
Yeah, like it's
sorry, but what is a yoni egg?
Oh, it's like a jade or rose quartz crystal that's like honed into a soft egg that you put in your vagina to like do Kegels.
And why is it $2,000?
I don't know if it's really $2,000, but she has things like that on Goop. Okay. Like one of the
I'm not gonna lie, it makes me eye roll.
It's silly. Yeah. It's very silly. One year in the Christmas gift guide, they had an island.
What?
Like they had a guide for what do you get the person who has everything? An island.
I cannot.
It's only 12 million US or something.
Oh my word.
Yeah, so it's eye-rolly. It's very silly.
I feel like that's a PR stunt.
Sure. And then she released that candle that smelt like a vagina or something.
What?
Well, yeah, it wasn't called Gwyneth's Vagina, the fragrance, but I think she released it and then said, oh, it smells like my vagina. I don't know how she knows what her vagina smells like. That's how goopy she is.
Okay, fair call.
But if you can just enjoy her for what she is, I don't know, I got a lot out of it. And I think it's really cool that she's putting out another lens on things and exploring stuff people don't talk about. I like it.
Well, I think it's actually really important to have a celebrity with the star power of Gwyneth shining a light on sex and normalizing conversations around it and eroticism and kink and all of those things and the languages of love. Yeah. I think it's only going to improve people's sex lives.
Totally.
Because porn cannot be the only form of education.
Fuck no. Well, actually, they're quite like railed against all that. Actually, it was really that all the unifying thread from all the experts who were sort of brought in to work with these couples was how damaging porn has been on
it's
people's sex lives.
It's incredibly damaging. It's worrying.
Yeah,
and that's where the performative aspect that has bled into everyday women outside of the world of porn comes from.
Yeah,
because we think, oh, that's how men want us to be during sex.
Yeah, because porn was predominantly made for men.
Absolutely.
But also there's another bit where this doctor gets out.
I love how excited you are. You're almost levitating. You're shaking with so much excitement.
I just couldn't wait for the kids to go to bed so I could put the next ep on. Do you know what I mean? This other expert had like a cushion of the clitoris.
Say like, what?
Stay with me. So it was like an anatomical diagram sort of 3D model of the clitoris, but done as a cushion. I think it's less threatening.
Cool.
And oversized so that you could sort of play with it. And she pulled it apart and all the different bits. And I thought it was just like, you know, that little bit that you think of. It's this whole gland that goes like inside you and behind.
Gland. I don't lie. There couldn't be a less sexy
touch
way.
My gland. Touch my gland.
It's just not. I've never heard anyone describe a vagina as a gland. Like, when I hear the word gland, I think of like a fish and it's gland.
A gill. What's a gill, babe?
I know, but it's, I don't
and
know.
A vagina's not a gill.
Dead. I'm dead.
No, the point was, we're never full of shame knowing about the anatomy of our ear. Or our nose or our lungs, why can't we know more about the, you know, vulva and clitoris and how it works for pleasure reasons?
Mm.
Because there's so much more to it than that little bit that you think of when you think of,
Are you talking about the clit?
Yeah, but it's got a gland.
Stop using the word gland.
Okay, there's just more to it than you think.
It's like the word moist.
Like I can't show the DLs because they're not here with us, but like for you, it's like a butterfly-shaped thing.
Okay, butterfly I can get behind.
It's a beautiful flowery butterfly.
Beautiful.
That extends beyond where you think.
Cool.
Yeah, and there's stuff you can do to like
stimulate
really maximize
it.
That surface area.
I'm into this.
It's so good, Jem.
Well, I'm going to watch it tonight.
Watch it with hubs.
Okay.
I think it would be more fun to watch it together and then be like, we should kind of try that out, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Sex, Love and Goop on Netflix.
Sex, Love and Goop. We've got the scoop.
This is not at all what Bring we're going to in mind.
Bring you in the loop on sex, love, and goop.
Anyway, and then let's both do the test. And next week, let's unveil our erotic personalities.
Here for it.
And we'll see if we're compatible.
And see if we're compatible. Hello. I mean, I'm open. No, I'm kidding.
Ad break. Got to keep the lights on. Hey, Jem, want to play a game?
Do I ever not want to play a game?
Okay, if you lost your makeup bag, what are the three MCO beauty products you would immediately repurchase?
Flawless Glow Luminous Skin Filter.
Okay, they didn't even hesitate.
Well, it's my first step. Primer, concealer in one.
And it creates that dewy finish that we love.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so number two would be the Super Glow Bronzing Drops.
Knew it. Called it.
I mean, I love the sun-kissed bronze look, obviously. Especially as we're going into the cooler months, Rebsy.
It's so hydrating.
Yep. And my last pick would be...
Extend Lash Mascara.
Ah, of course. My fave.
Well, it's everyone's favourite tubular mascara, actually.
So DLs, head into Chemist Warehouse, Woolworths, Big W, or jump online to mcobeauty.com to stock up on all of their cult faves.
And check out their new products today.
So, what don't you have time for?
It's kind of a big topic.
Oh.
I do not have time for fast fashion guilt.
Oh, okay. Talk it up.
You know how I always talk about the people I follow and the shit that I see on the gram?
Do you?
Don't I?
Yes. I was being facetious.
For once, it's not mumfluencers. Okay. There's a few other peeps that I follow who really push hard on the importance of not purchasing from fast fashion brands and more supporting sustainable fashion.
Yes.
And I am here for it. Of course. Why wouldn't I be? But...
Yep.
Old habits die hard.
Okay.
I still love shopping at your Target's, your Kmart's,
your Cotton On's,
your Big W's, Best and Less. And
ASOS.
I'm riddled with guilt. And I sat down and I thought about this for a bit, where I thought, Jem, maybe it's time to make a change. And then, okay, unpopular opinion. But I think it's important that both exist.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand the waste and the landfill, and it's incredibly problematic. I'm not disregarding that. I do think that being someone who only shops at sustainable fashion brands are also people of privilege.
Oh, absolutely.
Because there's a reason why those brands have to charge more.
Mm-hmm.
It's because their business practices and their manufacturing practices cost more because they're not mass made in a factory in India or China.
And they can't use young labor and cheap labor, and they can't pump out 5 million of the same t-shirt. Their things are handmade. They use less water. They use less fabric. They're made locally, shipped locally, all that kind of stuff.
And in order for that business to be sustainable, they have to mark up their products.
It's more expensive.
Of course. Yep. And look, you could argue, yes, but you spend more on one item, but it should last multiple seasons.
And that's true.
Absolutely.
We've all bought the $7 trainers from Big W that the kids wear for 2 weeks, as opposed to the proper shoes that last 4 months. We've all done that.
Well, I think this is where my argument comes in. It's mostly to do with growing kids.
Yeah.
I've shared this before, but many, 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 many episodes ago, but my kids' wardrobes are split in half. They have their daycare clothes and then they have their weekend clothes. And for all their weekend clothes, I like to shop at small boutique mum-run businesses. Mm-hmm. And those items generally cost more than the fast fashion, huge juggernaut, freaking Goliath businesses like your Targets and your Kmart. But for daycare, those clothes get absolutely trashed, as they should. Yeah, paint, mud, all
random
the things.
Random bits of mold.
Yes, the random bits of mold because they've been shoved into a plastic bag into the bottom of the school bag. And then I don't discover it until like 2 weeks later.
You just can't get that shit out.
You just can't. And that's where I think those fast fashion brands are incredibly helpful. And it's accessible for people of all socioeconomic backgrounds.
Yep.
Because it's important that the single struggling mum can clothe her three kids from Best and Less. And the thing about Best and Less as well, and again, I know this is a bigger argument, but they look at trends and they create more affordable clothes within those trends so that people's kids can still look cool.
Yeah. I have so much to say on this.
Yeah, go. Okay. Go, Revs.
It's so much like the boob job conversation we had a few weeks ago. Theoretically, I'm like against it. You know what I mean? I'm like, yes, fast fashion's terrible. We need to shut it down, buy less, look after it, do better for the planet, stay local, all those things, theoretically, right? And also, theoretically, I don't like when the big brands like Best and Less and Target and Kmart and Big W and Cotton
rip off
yeah. those small businesses working their tits off to make those beautiful designs. And then they'll just go, oh, Zulu and Zephyr did this cool cozy. Let's chuck it in Best and Less for $4. That's bullshit.
Yeah, like, it is bullshit. That's
total bullshit for the IP of the designer.
And even Target have been guilty of ripping off Oliella.
They all do it.
Rattan. Yeah. Kids toys.
Yeah, they all do it. They do it in a really big way because the 26-year-old buyer for Target is on Instagram looking at all those beautiful Byron businesses or whatever and going, cool, can our designers in Shanghai create this for $4? Yes, they can.
And I absolutely don't condone any of that.
Sure, theoretically. But then if I see it, I'm like, oh, cute. And I put it in my trolley.
And this is why we're such a contradiction.
Yeah, it's a problem, right? Yeah. So my theoretical opinion on this does not marry up with how I practically live my life. So yeah, growing kids. When your kids go to school, I think there is a shift.
Okay, because of school uniforms?
Because school uniform. Okay. They wear school uniforms 5 days a week. So they only really have 2 days a week that they wear clothes. And you can buy some nicer things. Depends what their lifestyle is, I guess. You know, if they're into dirt biking, you probably still go to Best and Less or Target or whatever. And then the other part of this is the privilege part, right? So yep. Sure, you spend $500 in one season at one nice place, or you spend $500 over 6 months at Target. And I get the theory that it all evens out and you should spend it with quality and have less and wash it and look after it and all that sort of thing. I understand that theory, but you need the $500 up front.
Correct.
To do that. Do you know what
and
I mean?
And not everyone has
and
that.
Not everyone has it. Some people have $50 to get socks, undies, tops, bottoms, and shoes for their kids for the next season. So everything does have its place.
And can I jump in? Because I know we're talking about fashion. But can I extend this to homewares?
Yeah.
And I think Instagram is a guilty contributor to the problem in that trends move, yeah. come and go, so much faster than they used to. Once upon a time, a trend would start and it would trickle so slowly where someone sees it in someone's home and goes, oh, I want that. And they have it in their home. Yeah. And then another friend comes up. But now you can literally spy on hundreds and thousands of people's homes and see what's trending.
Yeah.
And what I love about Kmart's, and again, not sponsored, although it sounds very sponsored, Kmart's homewares has allowed people in the lower income bracket to feel part of that trend,
yeah.
and to have those beautiful things in their home, like a rattan bedside table, rattan anything, rattan, we're back at this argument.
Can't remember. Just say woven.
But it's over $1,000 for each of those products.
Yeah.
And then Kmart does their affordable version and it means people can enjoy those things in their home. And
I'm pretty sure that's how IKEA started. It was a philosophy of the Scandis who are like, everyone deserves access to good design, which is a very Scandinavian philosophy. But how cool, you know, like everyone should have a nice line of chair in their house. Here's one. You got to build it yourself, but it's only $300 as opposed to $3,000.
Well, I wonder if the solution here is then to look at those bigger brands or encourage and push those bigger brands to adjust their practices.
You just have to hold those big brands accountable.
Yes.
So H&M is the one that gets absolutely railed on all the time. So a really, really good friend of mine is a big warrior for this stuff in the UK. Mm-hmm. She has her own label, Knack Knack.
Give her a shout out.
Fucking
how do you spell it? What's the website?
NAC. She's on Instagram. It's We Are Knack Knack. Anyway, she also runs a kids clothing store and she does a buyback system. She's like got all these really cool initiatives going to try and solve this problem that is so global, that is so big, and people don't even know where to start.
Tell me about this buyback. I'm interested.
It's so, so cool. So she's got a curated list of brands and they're beautiful French, British, Spanish, sustainable children's brands in the UK. And if you have clothes on that list, you can submit them to her. So it's still her curated store vibe. You don't just get like someone's random old M&S t-shirt or like something you bought at Asda in the pile. Like it's all curated and beautiful and quality clothes, but you can submit it and she'll buy it off you. And then you can either take store credit and get new clothes for your kid, or you can take cash.
Whoa, that's cool.
It's so cool. And it's a loop. And she's the only person doing it well in the UK.
Love it.
And we need to do more of that kind of thing.
Definitely.
And also on that, we can do that in our own communities in hand-me-downs.
I am huge on hand-me-downs.
And I feel so good about my contribution to hand-me-downs because I was the first mum in our group.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, okay, cool, this can go to Claire, this can go to Jem, this can go... And I love now seeing my little goddaughter Ella tripping around in a dress Isla wore when she was two.
It's gorgeous.
It's great. It feels good for everyone and it's no waste.
100% agree.
It just sucks if you're at the start.
Where you had to buy everything straight
no
off the
bat. No one's handing down to me.
Well, then Isla got to enjoy the newness of
yes,
it all.
Yes, she did. She did. But yeah, I think you're right. It's about holding those huge brands accountable, like yeah. H&M, like Cotton On, like Big W, like Target, and calling them out when they rip off people's IP. I know it's not the issue that you're bringing up, but it is similar.
Well, it is a problem.
Yeah.
But again, I think that is something that can be addressed and adjusted yeah. within those big companies. It is about holding them accountable.
I wonder if in the Facebook group people want to share if anyone knows like which brands are doing it well.
Yeah.
Like we should actually find out who has some good sustainability
practices. And let's spotlight them and praise them.
Yeah, because I know Cotton On's supposed to be one of the worst.
Really?
And that sucks because the clothes are so cute. The kids love
them. Damn it, I just shopped there recently and bought a whole heap of daycare dresses for Rafa from Cotton On.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they've turned it around. I know there's pressure now, which is great on these big companies to get it right and to do better. I think that's probably the solution.
Yes.
If you can't afford to, you know, keep it local. Did I solve a problem?
You might have solved.
Did I give advice?
Was something solved on our podcast
for
once?
Advice?
I don't know. We're allergic to giving advice. We would never give advice. But the long and short of it is, if you can, and this is what I try and do, if I can, I will first see if something that I'm after is available from a small boutique sustainable business.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
And then if I can't, I will then go to the bigger companies. But I'm in a position to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess if you feel you're in a position where you can throw more of your dollars at small businesses, then let me encourage you to continue to do that, especially with the Christmas season coming up.
I was going to say, Christmas is coming up. It's a good gift thing.
Yes.
If grandparents are asking or aunties and uncles or whatever are
instead
asking,
of sending them to your Big W's and Targets.
Oh, he wants a fucking Power Rangers battle stadium. Cool. Get a fucking Seed and Sprout lunchbox. They're $100, but like you'll never buy a plastic lunchbox again.
I don't know if that kid would be as stoked opening a Seed and Sprout. Can you imagine? Imagine you could do an experiment with twin boys where you give one the Power Rangers and the other the Seed and Sprout. Can you imagine the disappointment? Oh, thanks for this tin box. And the other one's like, Power Rangers.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. I just lost sight of the meaning of Christmas, which is get to the top of Mount Consumerism. No, I was just thinking in my head, I did fork out for the Seed and Sprout lunchboxes 2 years ago now, and I still pack them every day, and they're still great.
How good.
That's the theory and practice, I guess.
Yes.
And I would have definitely bought 4 or 5 Target lunchboxes in that time.
That fell to shit really quickly?
That fell to shit quickly, that got moldy, that was skanky and smelly and all the things, you know?
Mm.
So, you know, that's the theory and practice. Contradictions abound.
Well, shall we chuff along onto our... Not spawn?
I thought you were about to call the outro and I was like, wait. For once, I know my not sponsored.
Hit me with your not spawn. Okay. I said.
Nope. She's still going.
Hit me with your not spawn.
Bum, ba-dum. I think you might have not spawned this before.
Oh, double up.
Don't want to repeat, but look, it's good. You know, we love a period cup here.
We love a period cup.
We love a period cup here.
Yep, we call them a keep cup.
We love a keep cup. We love shoving a keep cup up our clacker. If we get a yoni egg and a keep cup, we could have a whole situation going on in there.
Whoa.
Ah!
That is stretch city.
And then you can get out your new toys. It's going to be sensation station.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, sorry for the brand I'm about to loop in with that disaster of a combo. I've always used a Diva cup, which you can get at Coles and Woolies. And because I'm an instant grat person, I wanted a cup. I went to Coles, got a Diva cup. It was fine. Then you've always gone on about the better cup.
Yeah, so that was my not spawn in like...
Week 2 or something.
Yeah, week 2 of the podcast.
So I got a better cup.
Yep.
They're better.
They are better.
They're actually better.
Yes.
Something about the silicone, it's a bit more solid. So it springs out better.
Yes.
Like, so you pop it in and then it goes... Yeah. And it seals better.
So is the Coles one too soft and malleable? Is
that? It's not too. Like, it's fine. But I found I had to change it twice or three times a day. The Better Cup I can literally put in the morning and take out in the evening.
So it's more of a plug.
It's more of a plug.
So even if it overflows.
It just handles my glands, you know?
No! You didn't!
It's just better. It's just a little bit tougher. It washes really well. I mean, they all wash well, but I don't know. It's very hard to explain why it's better, but I'm finding it molds a bit better. It lasts longer. It fits better. It goes in easier. It's better.
Yeah.
And that's why they call it the Better Cup.
It's smart branding.
Yeah.
And I said this before when this was my not spawn. You're totally riding my coattails here, but... To throw more love at this mum-run small biz, I know the owner. Her name is Ruth.
Yep.
She's very passionate about this. And every purchase you make at Better Cup, a percentage of the proceeds goes towards ending period poverty in Africa.
Amazing. I mean, all better all round.
Exactly.
Anyway, sorry to repeat a not spawn, but like, you know, got to back it up.
No, I think that's okay.
A year later, it's just better.
We're 53 episodes in. I think you're allowed.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have new things. I promise. I just wanted to back up your year-old not spawn.
After Christmas, you're going to have so many not spawns if you get a pile of presents.
Hit me with your not spawn. Who's going to buy me presents this year? My mum.
Your parents.
My mum.
Your parents will totes buy you gifts.
Yeah. I think everyone's in the Secret Santa vibe this year.
Excuse me. Did I not just buy you a gift?
Oh, my God. I love it so much. Besties. Bestie here bought me one of those beautiful initials necklaces that Gems had forever with my kids' initials on it. And it's so special. I love it so much.
We're harking back to another old not spawn,
yes.
But I think I talked about this before. It's Maya Brenner.
Yes.
Obsessed.
This whole episode is just like, buy this, then buy this, then buy this. Shout out to this brand. Soz.
So my not spawn isn't a product.
Okay.
It's a documentary.
Oh.
A surprising one.
Yeah.
I chucked it on again thinking I'll fall asleep. This is a background doco. You know I'm crazy obsessed with particular musicians.
Mm-hmm.
It's Pink's
documentary. Oh, yay.
It's called All I Know So Far. And it is so deliciously candid. There's a lot of musician biopic docos, whatever you want to call them, that I feel are a bit contrived,
sure.
Where they create scenarios because mm-hmm. they want to present a certain angle of themselves. But Pink's feels incredibly raw and candid. It's brutally honest, talking about her marriage with her husband and the role reversal that they play with her going on tour and him looking after the kids full time and giving up his motocross career in order to let her shine. And the partnership that they share is quite amazing because they broke up for a time and then found their way back to each other and completely restructured their marriage. That's a really interesting conversation. But also the way Pink parents her children. She's got her daughter Willow and then she's got her little boy, and they've got quite a big age gap between them, and that dynamic's really interesting.
Cool.
And then you get a real pulling back of the curtain into touring life, which I find really interesting, and setting up the stages and the rehearsal process. I found it really heartwarming. It's an artist doco where the spotlight isn't so much on the music.
Yeah,
you know how you
right.
feel like the focus is on, I'm doing a doco on my life, but I actually want you to hear my songs.
Yeah.
And see the big concert numbers. This is much more focused on a side of Pink that none of us get access to.
Giving me Shut Up and Sing vibes. The Dixie Chicks doco from years ago.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's like, it was like Bush era
in
America. Like, I think like almost 20 years ago now. But it's all about kind of their lives and politically and then with the sideshow of their music.
I love it.
Yeah.
How good. I love those kinds of docos. And Pink's is incredibly inspiring. After you watch it, you walk away kind of reassessing how you parent your own kids in a good way.
Cool.
It's very uplifting.
Cool.
And it's a feel-good doco.
Isla loves Pink.
Oh, she should watch it.
And I'm so pumped that she loves Pink because I think she's such a good role model.
She is.
She's so strong. She's not traditionally femme. She's interesting. She's quite like all that cool aerial silk stuff that she does.
It's
and then
brilliant.
Her talent obviously isn't crazy good. And her songs are really good for young girl to listen to.
Yes. And yeah. I forgot how many anthems she had until I watched the doc and I was like, oh my God, I love that hit. And I love that hit.
Teddy loves it too. He likes that na 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 na. Thinks that's awesome. Yeah. He's like, I love this song. Oh my God, I played my kids Crazy in Love the other day, which
epic.
I'd never heard. And I was like, this was the song of my school years. And they were like, what's the song of our school years? I'm like, you're not there yet. You need to be 17, riding around in someone's car, something's blasting from the radio, and that is going to be the song of your school years.
But do kids these days listen to the radio? See,
they don't listen to the radio. They don't tune into the wireless. They put on their Spotify.
I know, but are there many unifying artists? Because in our day, record labels ran the world of music.
Sure.
And so there was a limited number of releases every single year, and then we tuned into the radio. Whereas these days, you could get lost in SoundCloud and discover a million artists. So I'm wondering
how cool.
if kids have a broader range or broader taste in music. But then does that make them fanatical as a group over one? You know how we all loved Hanson, and then we all love the Spice Girls, and then All Saints. So we're all unified.
I think capitalism will still reign, and I think everyone's mostly basic still. So yes, I think that will happen. But no, I think there will be a lot more access to like cool, interesting subcultures for sure.
True.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Yeah, it's how good.
Well, I think that wraps up our episode.
I think we've talked everyone's ears off.
We certainly have.
Been super haughty and on soapbox today.
We sure have. Shall we...
Cue the outro.
One of these days we'll have an outro to our podcast.
Very low and sultry today.
Bye.
Bye.